Hey everyone, my name is Mike Katz. I'm EVP of T-Mobile for Business, and welcome back to Taking Care of Business. I am so thrilled today to be joined by Kishan Magnat. Kishan is Cisco's VP of Mobility and Automation with a strong focus on 5G. In other words, he's pretty much the face of 5G at Cisco. He's also a serial entrepreneur. He was one of the co-founders of a company called BroadHop that was acquired by Cisco in 2013, which is where he was led to today, which is how he got to where he is today. So I am so excited, Kishan, that you're here with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here. Really enjoy working with you and T-Mobile.
Well, we're lucky to have you as part of our extended team. I wanted to kind of jump right into it with 5G. 5G is obviously a big buzzword. You see lots of advertising around 5G. We're talking a lot about 5G. And I want to talk about 5G as a game changer specifically in the business space, because one of the things that I frequently talk about is if you go back 10 years and think about the world before 4G and think about how much of our world has changed just in these last 10 years with 4G and LTE technology. You know, the fact that, you know, we can do everything we want from our smartphone, we can call an Uber, we can, you know, have food delivered to our house, we can get a date on our phone, just all of these things that were invented in the 4G era that we never would have forecasted 10 years ago. Like when you think about this 5G era, like what gets you excited about 5G as we transition from this technology to the next one?
Yeah, I mean, I think your 4G example is great because it's really all about how we made communication and applications experiences pervasive for the consumer through smartphones. But what we're looking at with 5G is so much bigger because it's taking that same idea of pervasiveness or critical mass in terms of connectivity and experience, but applying it in a much broader realm. So think about basically connecting everything, having an on-demand network experience, you know, and to your point, you know, specifically around business. If you look at what's happened in business IT over the last 10 years, it's been completely transformed by the cloud and by this, utility-based approach to computing. And 5G really is that utility-based approach to connectivity and to networks. So there's a number of different technology innovations that are driving that, but basically you can get anything connected to the network with 5G that really is going to fuel and drive digitization for enterprises as well as small and medium businesses.
You know, you hear a lot of talk about the kinds of capabilities that are coming with 5G, whether it's, you know, huge, massive download speeds. You know, what from your perspective, what are some of the things that you think are really going to be transformed experientially because of 5G? And what are like some of the key ingredients that you see 5G bringing that just what wasn't, you know, networks weren't capable of in an LTE era?
You know, Mike, this is one of the things that I think is only partially understood. I think that there's a lot of talk when it comes to 5G about low latency, and obviously that's really cool. And super important. And I think when the applications get there, then, you know, customers will be asking for low latency, and they already are in some pockets. I mean, if you look at gaming, if you look at virtual reality entertainment, some of your factory automation use cases, I mean, low latency is a real thing. And obviously we know about high speed, and those are things that 5G is delivering upon. But the part that is misunderstood is what it takes to actually deploy, build, operate a network, and to create a service such that it becomes pervasive. And that's really all about automation. And so that's one of the biggest things that we did that's different in 5G than 4G was, number one, the network itself is software rather than, you know, hardware-based network devices. And it's built from the ground up with automation. So what that means is that, you know, we can build out the network more quickly, which is, you know, exactly how we're going to connect everything, you know, to create that, you know, cloud-like experience for network consumption.
You know, as a business is thinking about 5G, what would you tell them in terms of what to expect out of 5G in the short term, maybe the next couple of years, versus what they should expect and how they should think about 5G, you know, several years or 5 years down the road?
Yeah, I mean, some of the immediate things have begun to happen. I don't think businesses have completely tapped into this, but you know, think about a company that makes automobiles, Tesla or General Motors, Ford. You know, they're already now developing connected cars, and they're using the LTE network to connect those cars back to their services. But really, that's just the tip of the iceberg. So that machine-to-machine communication, any business customer that sells a connected device can think about the 4G network or the 5G network as something that can be connected when you boot up the device or when you send some kind of a communication device to your customer. The second area that I think will probably be more medium term is around factory automation. And the sort of more of what we refer to as OT or operational technology. So that could be anything from a manufacturer to a mining company, oil and gas. I mean, you have a wide range of different applications where connectivity and technology is actually part of either manufacturing their good or delivering their service. John Deere is a good example where they have connected tractors and so on that send telemetry data back to to help enhance the product, and then I think further out, maybe even more medium term for small and medium customers is looking at every time there's a connectivity opportunity, LAN and Wi-Fi is the workhorse. Obviously, Cisco is a big player in the LAN and Wi-Fi space, and we know that that's going to continue for a very long time. But what 5G is opening up for small, medium, and large businesses is a whole mindset or mentality around right tool for the job. So it's not, Wi-Fi 6 or 5G. It's, which is the right technology to get our new applications up and running as quickly as possible. And I mean, we're in an uber competitive world. And, the kind of this, you and me being in this industry for a long time, we're used to the speed at which technology moves, and now with digitization taking over in all industries, that same kind of technology speed is hitting every industry, and so you really need to be able to have the right solution right away.
Yeah, I know this is pretty much an impossible question, so I'm not going to hold you to the answer or anything. But I talked at the beginning about things like Uber and Airbnb and really just the world of applications kind of being the thing that defined LTE. If you were to place a bet on, looking back at this industry, 5 or 10 years from now, what do you think the things that we'll be talking about that have defined this 5G era will be, the kinds of use cases that will define this era?
Well, there's a huge headwind that we have, from the perspective of the kind of question that you just asked me, and it is a little bit of a tough question, because when you think about 4G, we put iPhones and smartphones in the hands of billions of consumers. And so it really went from being, cellular technology was about voice to all of a sudden, it's this mainstream, it really mainstreamed the internet. And so for those of us who are in the industry, we were already using different, websites and web applications to do things, but the way that it made it so easy for consumers, really made 4G a special transition. I think some of the things that are going to define 5G will maybe, they won't be as consumer relevant right away. I mean, I do think, having more infotainment services for consumers, whether they're flying, driving in a train, I think those experiences will become richer for consumers. Obviously AR, VR, I mean, there's lots of hype around that, but that that'll define the consumer segment. But the biggest advantages are going to be realized for businesses and by businesses in terms of pervasively connecting their enterprise in whatever shape or form it is, with its end constituents and customers and devices. So it really is about the business, and I'm just afraid that, you know, that I don't want people to feel like 5G is a letdown. I think it's really an enabling technology.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Kishan. I thought you were going to tell me about when you and I are going to be driving in our completely automated self-driving cars, talking to each other like on hologram phones.
Well, you can tell that I'm a technologist, Mike, in the sense that you know, I have to speak honestly about what I really see, but certainly, you know, it is helping all of those industries. You know, and I think it goes back to my message around automation, but more as core technology constructs versus, you know, killer use cases that change everybody's life, you know, tomorrow. Jetsons and that kind of thing.
I think it's an unfair question because the reality is, I think, you know, just like 10 years ago, and this is to me, this is kind of the cool thing about 5G is we don't know what's going to be invented, and it's probably going to be invented in, you know, somebody's garage or somebody's dorm room, the next thing that leverages these amazing capabilities that defines the next generation of this mobile technology, which I think is so cool.
Well, I mean, that's what makes it so, you know, incredibly critical and impressive, what T-Mobile has accomplished. You know, and I want to toot your horn a little bit, as long as, you know, and hopefully Cisco's as well, as long as we're here. But, you know, by getting, you know, there's something really, you know, and again, I don't want to get too techie, but there's something really unique about what T-Mobile has been able to build, in terms of the spectrum that is available and the way that it's been built out, that where the T-Mobile network from a 5G perspective really is more pervasive. You know, I mean, we were able to turn up the nationwide 5G network, you know, literally, you know, years before other players in the market. And so, to your point, by making that technology available, it, you know, it's, you know, for us, hopefully our constituents, our customers, our partners make it easy on us to go out and invent those new things, you know, because it is this enabling platform, to provide this fast, low latency, connectivity, and, you know, sky's the limit. So, you know, I guess the message to the industry is get out there and go do stuff with it. Go experiment, you know, and go fail, frankly. I mean, I think that's what's really gonna, you know, gonna make this a huge opportunity with 5G.
Yeah. Well, one last question and relative to 5G, just as long as we're still doing the horn tooting. You know, T-Mobile recently just launched this thing called standalone 5G or 5G SA. Can you talk about what that is and why it's a big deal?
Yeah, so non-standalone 5G means that you attach the new 5G radio to the 4G core. And, you know, we did that actually a couple of years ago with you guys. I mean, we did that very early. And that was cool and that was important. It was a stepping stone. But then, you know, you're saddled with the maximum scale and speed and throughput of your 4G network. You're still scaling out the data center capacity to support that 5G network via 4G technology. I mean, if you think about low latency and high speed, it really means getting the network closer to the user, which means that we can't be hamstrung by the old technology methods. So that's number one that's really important about 5G SA. It's based on cloud technology. It's built with automation from the ground up. But then the other, and this is what's really unique again for T-Mobile. When you have the low band spectrum and the mid band spectrum, you get a whole host of new devices. And so, you know, T-Mobile is going to be in a position to continue to put new devices out in the market, and leveraging the SA core, the standalone core, allows those devices to travel between different spectrum bands. So you're going to get the best available connection for your device anywhere that you are, which you can't do on a non-standalone core.
Yeah, it's so exciting to hear you say that because you know I think you know we talk a lot about this differentiated experience and this differentiated delivery timetable that we've had with 5G, and it's been really neat to see technologies like standalone hit the market and immediately have impacts. You know, I think there was something like a 30% increase in our coverage footprint when we launched standalone 5G. simply because of you know, the facts that you talked about. So it's really neat to see these things go from you know, being talked about in rhetoric and up on whiteboards to actually being in the market and watching customers using it on their phones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys have just been amazing to work with. So thank you for giving us the opportunity. And, you know, I love Un-carrier. It's a slogan and so on. But, you know, when we go out and get to, you know, break down doors and do new things, you know, things that are hard, you know, like what we've rolled out, it really, you know, puts more behind the slogan. So, you know, definitely seen that in terms of the culture. I mean, frankly, you know, I've tried to, you know, have some of that rub off on our teams. I mean, we do talk about, you know, lowering barriers and so on. So it's been really cool.
Yeah. It's a great partnership. And I think, you know, I think we wouldn't be in a lot of places where we are today without great partnerships like this one. Kishan, I mentioned at the top that you are a serial entrepreneur. And I know that you've got a day job at Cisco that keeps you really, really busy. But like, what do you got? What else do you have going on? What are some of the side projects that you're at least thinking about or actually doing something about?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was in startups for about 15 years before I came to Cisco, you know, via the BroadHop acquisition, like you mentioned. You know, I frankly didn't expect to stay at Cisco as long as I have. But, you know, one of the things you get addicted to is being able to, you know, not only be disruptive, but also make a big impact. I mean, frankly, a startup is not going to be who T-Mobile is going to choose to build their 5G SA core. But when you have the scale of Cisco behind you, you know, the sort of the magnitude of the disruption and impact, you know, really increases. So that's really been cool from a career life cycle, you know, or, you know, career evolution point of view. Is just to see that, you know, you have yourself pegged as, oh, well, I'm this, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a disruptor. You know, I could never, you know, saddle up to a corporate job or whatever. And what you, I think you actually end up dropping some of your dogmas and your preconceived notions about, you know, your own labels, if you will. You know, but with that being said, I still really enjoy mentoring and coaching with startups. I mean, so I have three different startups I'm working with right now, and they really run the gamut. You know, one is doing, you know, basically taking Connected Self. If you think about Strava or even your iPhone, it sends you your weekly stats in terms of your screen time and so on. This is sort of an area called Connected Self. Think about marrying that together with meeting technology. So you're in a private and confidential way, you know, getting voice recordings of your meetings that are anonymized, and it shows how much time you're talking versus how much time I'm talking, whether or not I'm, you know, screwing around on my PC, not listening. You know, it's basically taking that sort of Strava mentality of Connected Self and applying it to how do I be more productive? How do I show up better and learn more about, you know, how do I work? You know, there's another one I'm looking at that is helping with methane mitigation. So it's using a patented laser technology to detect when there's gas leaks, which is it's really costly. It's bad for the environment. And it's a huge both public health and public relations nightmare for, you know, for oil and gas companies. So that one's, you know, being incubated out of the University of Colorado, and it's just some, you know, it's totally out of left field from my normal stuff, but that's been really neat. I work with students at my alma mater at Colorado College. We have a creativity and innovation department, if you will, which is really about, it's more than, you know, a lot of colleges have these kind of startup competitions, and, you know, it's like a pre-VC feeder. And it ends up being, you know, I mean, frankly speaking, like a lot of white guys from private schools who are already really well set up to, you know, to do well in the startup world or in the venture world. And we've kind of flipped the model on its head with creativity and innovation at Colorado College to basically break down what makes you successful as an innovator, or what makes you successful as a creative. You know, it's having, you know, these, so we've built the curriculum in a way where they're building blocks, but it's, you know, being a risk taker, you know, being willing to be vulnerable, being a strong communicator, you know, all those kinds of things that, you know, then not only play into success in, you know, entrepreneurial fields, but also, you know, starting up nonprofit organizations, or, you know, even just in, you know, traditional creative avenues. So that's been really cool too, just to see how, you know, somehow entrepreneurship and innovation need to be up-leveled for today's world.
That's amazing. Half of that is amazing, and half of it makes me feel bad, because like my side project now is being the home IT guy at the cat's house, fixing printers and PCs while kids are going to school. So now I feel like I'm not doing nearly enough. So thanks for that. But no, that, I mean, that's amazing. And I am particularly excited about what you're doing to encourage entrepreneurship, particularly technology entrepreneurship, in my home state, which in Colorado, which I think is super, super, super exciting. One of the things that you've mentioned it a couple of times, you've mentioned the idea, you know, particularly for entrepreneurs, startups, the idea of taking risks and failing, presumably failing fast. You know, when you're working with startups like the ones that you're working with, what are some of those kind of core pieces of advice that you see make the difference between a really successful startup venture versus the ones that don't see as much success, that don't get, you know, purchased by Cisco?
Yeah, I mean, I think it applies to startups, but it also applies to our customers out there who are trying to figure out how to use 5G and how to be, you know, that next killer app that, you know, admittedly, we've already said that we don't have all those answers. And, you know, number one, you know, the principal aspect is to focus on burning needs. Okay, so look across, if you're an existing organization, or if you're an entrepreneur who, you know, is looking to play in a particular space, you really need to think deeply about what's the unmet need, or what's the problem that I'm trying to solve, and you know, basically find a better way to do things. And then, you know, don't fall prey to analysis paralysis. You've got to start fast. As soon as you have, you know, enough of an idea of what you're doing, go run an experiment. If that experiment goes well, make the experiment a little bigger. If that goes well, then consider some kind of limited production rollout. And also, you know, create agency and enrollment of other stakeholders in your process. Like, keep telling, you got to evangelize, you got to tell people what you're doing, make them want to be part of the momentum that you're creating. And then, you know, you mentioned not being afraid to fail. I think that's, you know, it's sort of a cliche, but it's obviously true. But the last point that I want to say is just focus on the people. You know, so anytime you're getting into, you know, trying to solve a big problem, it takes a team. And when you're building that team, really think about the strengths of the team, the needs of the team, what your different players can bring to the table. You know, I'm a fan of basketball, you know, the NBA. And I love it when there's a team that's stacked with superstars. Like, well, I'm a Nuggets fan, right? So I'll pick on the LA Clippers, right? We've taken them to a game seven, you know, and they're stacked with superstars, but the Nuggets have this, you know, they know their roles. They're cohesive in terms of the way that they play. And they have different strengths on that team. So I guess we'll see what happens in game seven, but the team and the strengths-based approach to people is absolutely critical.
Yeah. It takes a lot of self-awareness too, right? To be able to do that. Cause you have to know what you're good at, so you can make sure you surround yourself with people that round out your own skill set. I think it's great advice. And Keishan, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing this with us. And even more, I can't tell you how much we appreciate the partnership with T-Mobile, and specifically your contributions to what's happening in this country with 5G that I really believe is going to create another huge wave of innovation, create lots of new entrepreneurial opportunities, and lots of new commercial opportunities for entrepreneurs everywhere. So thank you for what you're doing there. Thank you for spending some time helping us break down 5G a little bit, particularly for what it's going to mean to businesses big and small here over the next couple of years. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. It was awesome. Keep fighting the good fight, and we're just getting started. So I can't wait.
Thank you so much. And thank you to all of you for listening. Please come back soon for our next episode of Taking Care of Business. Have a great day.